Welcome to the Building a Karate Club podcast. I'm your host, Sensei Murphy. The Building a Karate Club podcast is brought to you by Konjo Karate Club. Twice a month, we will be talking about the various aspects of building and maintaining a karate club. I'm the owner and chief instructor. The motto of our club is dedicated to building the self-esteem of its students. We are located at 22029 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, Illinois. I can be reached at murfsensei@yahoo.com. And now, on with the show. Hello, this is Sensei Murphy. We're at McHenry County College, and we're doing our midterm, all right? And our midterm at our college class, our self-defense and karate class. And we're going to be talking about karate at the college, okay? And we're bringing back our Building a Karate Club podcast. So I'm going to pass the mic around, and the students or professors, people here, are going to introduce themselves and maybe say something about themselves, or maybe just say who they are. We'll see what they say. We'll start with the wonderful and talented Carly. Go ahead.
I'm Carly Blaze.
I'm Crystal Peralta.
April Skog.
I'm Mark Lucchese. I'm a third degree black belt, and I've been doing karate with Sensei Murphy since I was about 6 or 7.
I'm Jim Blaze, and I'm an instructor here at in the HFE department. I'm also a black belt in karate and have been studying with Sensei Murphy for about 10 years, I believe. And I also teach Taiji here.
Okay, I'm Kathy Engel. I'm in my 70s. I'm a brown belt, and I've been studying for about 3 years.
I'm Erica Mills. I'm a third degree black belt, and I've been studying with Sensei since I was about 17 or so. So about 12 years now.
I'm Sensei Wheels. The reason they call me that is because I'm in a wheelchair, but I'm also a third degree black belt. I've been studying with Sensei Murphy now for approximately 17 years. And I now teach a martial arts class specifically for people with physical or mental limitations.
Okay, it's still working. The mic is still working. It's still going. So good. Okay, now the next thing we're going to have is the question. Should colleges have self-defense classes? I know when I went to college a long time ago, they didn't have self-defense classes. McHenry College has had self-defense classes for, I think, around 18 years. So they were one of the first. And they actually have a self-defense class where you get a college credit, which is kind of unique, too. And so they're a little bit ahead of the curve or whatever on having karate self-defense classes. Now they have several, not just ours. So should karate have self-defense classes? We're going to go the opposite way. We're going to ask Sensei Wheels first about it, and he can talk and say anything he wants about karate at colleges.
I believe that self-defense classes at colleges, karate at colleges, is a great idea because it does teach self-defense, but also it teaches confidence and discipline and self-control, which is why I believe that it's also important at a much earlier age than college to have martial arts classes introduced. I think grade school even, or at least junior high, is probably one of the best ages to do it. But college definitely, because that's right before you go out into the real world, as they say.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think if it was not necessarily a mandatory class, but I think it would be something that I would wish was available for everyone at least to be aware of and be exposed to in every college everywhere. And again, I agree with Sensei Wills in that it's something that the earlier people can be exposed to it and have that opportunity to learn that it's a confidence builder, that they don't have to be maybe afraid in situations that they would be otherwise. And it's a physicality. It teaches a lot of discipline and a lot of dedication to something, which is also good for every aspect of your life. So it's like, I would definitely agree that I wish it was something at least optional in every college across the country.
Because I'm old, I don't walk well. Sometimes I use a cane. Having the self-defense class makes me more confident. It makes me more aware of situations, being aware of what is going on around you, the people, what they're doing, how they're acting, is important at any age and in any situation. It keeps you a lot safer.
I'd second that. The mindfulness and presence that karate focuses on in the class really helps you stay in the present. I think two other reasons that I believe it should be mandatory as an instructor is we live in a current situation where domestic violence is pretty common, and particularly in McHenry County. And I used to think that all females should take it. There's a lot of males that come to this college that also would benefit from just being able to get away from someone, not so much to attack or to hurt, but to defend and to get away, which I think, unfortunately, in today's society is very important. Second reason is the amount of anxiety and depression in our youth today is staggering, and we have plenty of evidence to prove that participation in martial arts classes, karate, tai chi, and other forms help with self-confidence and also help relieve anxiety in many of these individuals with self-concept issues, and adults also.
I for sure agree that everyone that there should be self-defense classes, but I also think that there should be sports fighting classes also, like wrestling or Muay Thai as well. So I agree with everyone, but I also think they should have more opportunities for sports combat as well.
I also agree that having martial arts or karate in colleges is a necessity, and I say this because not only because you're learning self-defense, but you're also learning about your body and how to use your body in a correct way, and it's keeping you moving, which is something we all kind of have to do.
I agree as well as having self-defense in college. For sure, especially at MCC, I think that it should be a way more popular class than it is, given that we're three students here. And in my friend groups, I haven't heard anyone take this class particularly. And, like, given everything that's in the news, like, every day pretty much, it's something that you should know, something that you should know how to keep yourself safe, especially for us at MCC. A lot of us are transferring out to universities and to a lot of towns that we've never been to.
I also agree, and I think what was said before, that it should be started as early as possible, middle school, high school. I remember taking a self-defense in high school, and it really kind of opened your eyes to what you were hearing, the horror stories of going to college and girls being kidnapped and attacked, and it's kind of preparing, and like I said before, it's a confidence booster, and I think it's good.
Wow, we had very great answers, and a variety was really remarkable. So thank you very much. I'm going to stop the mic for just a minute. All right, the next question to answer is something you've learned in this class. And I have to ask that question because this is a midterm. So I have to be accountable, and hopefully somebody's learned something. All right? All right, and we're going to start with Carly, all right, who is a wonderful person, even though she doesn't know who Mary Tyler Moore was. Okay, so here's Carly.
Sorry about that one, but in general, the different katas and the different ways you can use your body, say if you're a smaller petite female against a larger man, and it's the stakes are going to be different for everyone. But specifically, probably the right way to punch and how to position your fingers so that you're not breaking knuckles, your knuckles, when you're trying to defend yourself.
It would for sure be the pressure points, like, and where to aim, especially, like, if you're in shock and you kind of don't remember. Maybe I don't even remember, like, a kata or anything. At least I can aim for somewhere that I know that's going to hurt them.
Yeah, along with the pressure points, I also learned how to keep a strong stance, and as well as when you're sparring, don't cross your feet. Yeah.
I've learned not to mess with girls.
It's a tough one to follow. Easily for me, it's persistence. I was able to pursue my belt as an instructor here through two very, very good senseis. Sensei Ardito and Sensei Murphy, and it's a long road. It's a long road, and particularly when you're trying to do it and balancing a full-time job and kids and stuff. So the amount of people that are able to make it to that level, it takes a lot, and you start to believe in yourself. And I think for the young people taking it, pursuing the belts incrementally is great for goal setting, and I think that transfers into life in many ways.
I think the most valuable lessons I've learned here are being persistent and turning to Sensei Murphy for help, because I'm old, I can't do all the moves that the younger people can. But there's always a way, and other opportunities are shown to me, so I'm becoming more confident in myself, and I don't tell myself I can't do that anymore. I always say to myself, well, there's a way to do it. Figure it out.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree on the confidence thing. If I don't know, if I had to pick something that I haven't said before that's very specific, it's that if something you try doesn't work out exactly the way you think it should, there's always something else you can do. Like, if you're in a fight, then maybe the moves you've learned in a practice are not going to be exactly the way they were there. Maybe something you try won't work, but then you learn not to panic. You're like, okay, I can do this other thing. I can try this instead. So it's not a right or wrong, like, if you get the first thing, then it doesn't work out, then it's like, oh, I'm doomed then. Like, no, there's something else that can be adapted to that. So I think that's really good in a lot of avenues of life, is like, if the first way you try to solve something or go at something doesn't work, you can adapt to that.
I've learned over the years of being in this class that everyone's reason for getting into this class is different. Some people, it's to fill a physical education requirement. Some people, it's they just think it would be cool to learn karate. Some people, it's they want more self-confidence. Some people, it's just to keep physically active and physically fit. There has even been people where it's helped them in their job as a physical trainer or as a doorman at a bar. There have been so many different reasons for people to get into martial arts, and that has opened my mind up to the fact that martial arts is for everyone, all walks of life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, what clique you belong to. Martial arts is for everyone.
All right. Again, great answers. Thank you very much. Next time, I'm going to ask people to say who they are right before they say it, because I just like your answers, you know. And when you hear the podcast, your parents can go, that's my son answering that, or my daughter, or my father, Professor Jimbo. Okay, so thank you very much. Okay, turning the mic off for a minute. Okay, the next question is, what are the things you would like us to put greater emphasis on? So in the college class, what other things you'd like us to put greater emphasis on? And we're going to go to Professor Jim Blaze, who is a remarkable man who does a lot of things in fitness and health. And I'm going to get out of my chair. So that's it. And I'm going to give him the mic. Okay.
This is Jim Blaze. I think the class, the way it's run right now, is perfect for me as an instructor, helping out sometimes. And the way it's taught to the students is in a very user-friendly and applicable way. When you come into a class, you'll definitely hear some noises typical of any class, with some loud noises with your katas and some of our forms. But I also believe that it's self-paced and it's very adaptable. I think the only thing I'd love to see on campus is the formation of a karate club. I'd really like to see students engaged outside of class, maybe getting together more than once a week for those who are interested to pursue things like one of the other students mentioned, perhaps competing in competitions or even holding one here at MCC. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Kat. Young and perky Kat.
I'm Kathy Engel, but they call me Kat. What I would like to see, I'd like to see more sparring and more hitting. Because I enjoy that facet of this.
This is Erica Mills, and I had to think about whether Erica was going to refer to Erica in third person, and thought, why not? I think I really like what a lot of the karate classes offer, and I think I would definitely, if there's anything I want to emphasize more, it's just, it's more awareness of more self-defense things. Like if you get into karate and you want to go into competitions and then to focus on that, or if you want to get into karate and do it for exercise, then you focus on what can best do that. And then so if I guess it's like to kind of hone in on what people want to specialize in for their karate, their martial art. So it's like if you come into it and say like, well, I don't really want to do any of that, I just want to, you know, feel safe in a situation, that it's like, okay, how do we adapt it to make sure we focus on self-defense instead of saying like, well, you do this in a tournament, well, that doesn't really apply to this particular person, it would apply to this other person. So I think that would be something that if really, that's the only thing that would come to mind. So.
Actually, that's a very good point that I completely agree with. I think that the way things run is a really good way of running things because it's balanced. It does have a little bit of the kata. It's got a little bit of the sparring. It's got a little bit of basics. It's got a little bit of real-world self-defense. I apologize. My name is Brian Melhorn, but I introduced myself earlier as Sensei Wheels. I think that because it doesn't focus on any one avenue, everyone's getting a more well-rounded view of it. But after getting the more well-rounded view, being able to branch off into the more specific areas is what I would like to do.
All right, Carly. Here you go.
This is Carly Blaze. And kind of what was said before by Jimbo Blaze, the karate club, I think, would be a good idea, and kind of to put more emphasis on what to do after this class and ways you can continue self-defense methods and that confidence, whether it's going into specific types of self-defense, kickboxing, judo, anything, and kind of just how to continue that momentum that you're getting from this class already.
This is Crystal Peralta. Going off of what Professor Blaze said with the club, maybe a different kind of club, or including in that specific club more like awareness of what's going on campuses and like what we can do other than self-defense, maybe like what we can carry on us, like a pepper spray or something like that. And then with those who are in, unfortunately, domestic abuse relationships, like how they can get out of that, because a lot of them are scared, so that's why they stay in. And so, like, what to do also when you're getting into a relationship, what signs to look for, and things like along that.
I'm April Skog, and I think I want to see more real-life situations in this class, because I feel like most of our learning goes towards actually hitting and blocking another person, but we don't apply it to a situation, so it's kind of all staggered off in separate areas of our brain. We're not actually, you know, thinking about utilizing it in that situation. So I think if we taught, you know, specific situations and types of people that are maybe coming at you in a certain type of way, how to react to that situation.
This is Mark. I think we should combine karate with Krav Maga, because Krav Maga is known as one of the best self-defense arts just in general. And I also think we don't have wrestling mats at MCC. I think we should get wrestling mats, because a lot of times in street fights, people get tackled, and they get tackled into concrete. So I think it's important to learn how to defend against wrestling moves too.
Okay. Very good. All right. Professor Blaze is going to make a comment on Crystal's statement and follow up on it. So,
To address Crystal's point, if we have a club, which I really would like to get started at some point in the next year or so, the head of the police force here, Mike, is a we have some very talented police officers here that have specialized training, not only in domestic violence, but terrorism and other things like that. And I'm sure they would be more than willing to come and give their lecture on not only how to defend yourself outside of, you know, karate and the art of karate, but also identifying potential bad guys on the street by the way they walk, posture, where to go if someone approaches you, as well as things you might keep handy in case you did have to defend yourself. And I think that's a really good idea.
Okay, this is Sensei Murphy, and the next topic is just basically about limitations. What are the limitations on who can take the class, who cannot? And I say that people over 70 can take the class, because and people in wheelchairs can also take the class, because I don't want to get hurt. Okay, all right. So anybody have anything they want to talk about, limitations or who can take the class and who's it for? And okay, and I have had people tell me they'd like to do karate, but now they're, oh my goodness, they're too old. And so Kat's going to talk about that. So I'm going to give her the mic, and then I'm going to retreat back to my chair. Okay.
Okay, so I started when I was 69. I'm 72 now. In the process, I also had a joint replacement. I had hip replaced in the middle of all that. Limitations are in your mind. You have to decide what you want to do. Sensei Murphy will help you figure out how to do it. Don't think you can't do it. There's a way. Wheels will tell you, even in a wheelchair. He's stunning. It's just a matter of mind over matter. It makes me more confident. I came in here, I was using a cane. I'm not using a cane now. I'm not using a walker. Even though my daughter thinks I'm decrepit, disabled. That's what she calls me, disabled. But I'm not disabled. I'm enabled here. And I'm going to do whatever I want. I've got a brown belt now. I'm working actively toward earning a black belt. Thank you.
Okay. Wheels, you want to say anything about that? You were told three times you can't do karate because you're in a wheelchair. So, you know.
Literally anyone can do martial arts. The only thing holding anyone back is themselves. Whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, either way, you're right. Because if you believe you can, you're going to work hard and you're going to make it happen. And if you believe you can't, then you've already decided to fail. And at that point, it doesn't matter how much the sensei tries to inspire you. If you've already decided to fail, you're going to. But if you keep an open mind, it doesn't matter whether you're in a wheelchair or crutches or walker or a cane or deaf or blind. Doesn't matter. There's always a way. You just have to figure out what it is. Everything can be worked around. There's always some method.
All right, and Erica, very good. Because, you know, a lot of people think girls can't do karate. They can't hit. They're too fragile. I'm going to give you the mic and then hide.
Okay. Thank you, Sensei. And yeah, I would agree with Kat and Sensei Wheels is that it applies to everybody, anybody, anywhere, no matter what their age, what their background, what their mental or physical differences are. They can do karate if they put their mind into it and they believe they can, and they're willing to have setbacks or things that have to be changed, because that's what happens with everybody. Like, I don't care if you're the most, you know, stereotypically able person ever. You might never do karate because you don't think you can, and that's the thing that's gonna kill it in its tracks for you. So it's like, yeah, with a lot of people, they think like, oh, you know, a 90-pound girl can't do karate, and it's like, well, why? It's like, sure, they're probably not going to pick up someone who's, you know, 250 pounds and throw them over a chair, but that doesn't mean that they can't, you know, they know how to outmaneuver them. They know how to move their body. They're, you know, they might be 90 pounds of pure muscle because they know and they've dedicated themselves to this and they work hard and they know that there's going to be parts where it's not easy or they get frustrated or they get upset or they get worried about what they can do and what they can't. And they believe in themselves and they believe in the people around them and they believe in the instructors they have, and they keep going. Or people who think like, well, I'm not naturally athletic, or, you know, well, I don't have coordination, or I can't do that, or I'm not smart enough, or I can't do this or this. It's like, you're comparing yourself to other people who are always going to be different. You know, you could be identical twins and you're going to be very different people. So it's like, you have to only compare it to where you are, and it's, that can maybe be harder to see your changes because, you know, you live inside your own head the whole time. But I can say the difference that I've noticed in me just from the beginning of when I started karate is now is astronomical. And it's like, and I've seen that in students, I've seen that in other classmates. It's like, what you started out as and what you believed you were capable of versus how you are now is leaps and bounds over. And so it's like, it doesn't matter what your body type, what your background, what your physical activity, anything. It's like, you can always find something you can do in it.
Okay, anybody else? I think April might be able to throw a 250-pound person. She's pretty tough. You know, and I'll tell you this, we have three young ladies in the class, and all of them are tough as nails. I mean, they hit, they kick, and there's no, you know, I'm just a little girl, or I'm only 20, I can't do this. Don't hit me, Carly. Okay, but they are tough young ladies, so it's kind of neat to see. So, all right, and boy, they like to beat up on Mark. Okay. And they are very aggressive when they do it. And so you see the spark in their eyes and they're fighting. It's a cool thing to see. So, okay. So the next question is for Professor Blaze or Professor Jimbo, okay? And introduce your credentials, who you are, and just about how to warm up, how to prepare yourself for a karate class, and how to cool down for a karate class. So I'm going to give you the mic, and you can give us some advice.
Thank you, Sensei. I have a degrees in occupational therapy and exercise science, and certifications in strength and conditioning, personal training, and weightlifting and conditioning. So I've been teaching for quite a bit, and the biggest thing is karate is a dynamic activity, so the warm-up needs to be dynamic. Static stretching is definitely okay, particularly afterwards, and perhaps in combination with some of the dynamic stretches. But before you want to punch, kick, or do any of the movement combinations, we want to do a dynamic warm-up, and that would be knee hugs, walking across, some hamstring stretches, and about 5 to 10 minutes of activity. So you want your warm-up to actually produce some type of sweat or get your heart rate up to prepare you, because if you really are going to punch or kick someone at full force, it's likely you could hurt yourself if you are not properly warmed up. And then afterwards, what I'm finding in the last 2 years is some of the movements in Tai Chi in particular, where we're slowing things down but there's still movement base, is a great way to cool down. Some people do walking from class to class as a cool down, and that can work well. But slowing the movements down and doing a more abbreviated type of dynamic stretching at the end, and it just so happens that Tai Chi does that very nicely. So we've been trying to teach some of the karate students some Tai Chi movement patterns at the end of class, and it just seems to work well with the theme of the entire martial arts class. Thank you.
Okay, and we're running out of time. Class is supposed to be over. So I'm just going to give anybody a chance to say final words, something they want to say, you know, and then we'll bow out. So, okay, and I'll give it to Mark because he's been quiet. And you can say anything you want to say at the end, and then just pass it around, and people can just say, if they just want to say goodbye, they can just say goodbye. Okay.
I don't have anything specific to say. Just goodbye and have a good one.
Thanks for listening.
All right, April. I don't know what to
say. Just that was said before. I think anyone and everyone can do this class, and I'm glad I took it.
Yeah, and this class is unique too because you can advance in rank. And we've had people go all the way to black belt, as Professor Blaze, second degree black belt, from the college taking the class. So it's a nice way. Okay. Sensei Wheels.
I don't really have much to say other than thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and, you know, like, comment, subscribe, and all that good stuff.
This is a good family sport to get involved in. My youngest daughter is a second degree black belt. Her older son is a black belt. So if, when I get my black belt, that'll give us 3 generations of black belts, and I think that's pretty cool.
This is Professor Jimbo, and I just want to thank everyone. I thank Crystal and April, my lovely daughter, who I'm very, very happy took a class. They're wonderful students, and they make the class fun, and they're lovely young people to be around. Mark's great. He is tough as nails, and he hit me so hard last week it was sore through a pad, as my daughter did also. It's great to have people like Ad in here, because not only is she funny, but she proves that the whole stereotype of age is just non-existent. Our two assistant instructors, Erica and Wheels, are phenomenal people. And this is all made possible because of Sensei Murphy, who is a god here at MCC to us. And he has made contributions not only to this class, but to the community for years. So a very sincere thank you.
Okay, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Building a Karate Club podcast. Any opinions expressed in this podcast are purely the opinions of the participants and not McHenry County College, Konjo Karate Club, or any other mentioned organization. If you like this show, please tell your friends or leave a review. That helps us a lot. The Building a Karate Club podcast was produced and edited by Eddie Mungai. New episodes are released every other Friday.